Thanks. Thank you all for being here. I thought my talk might be clashing with hangovers the morning after the excellent penguin dinner, so it's good to see so many people here. So I'm a Wikipedian. I've been a volunteer editor at Wikipedia for almost 6 years now. In 2004, I was elected to the Board of Trustees of the Wikimedia Foundation. And later that same year, I started a new wiki company called wikia.com, along with Jimmy Wales, the founder of Wikipedia. Before I start, I just want to clear up some of the terminology. Everything starts with wiki or has wiki in it, so it can get a little bit confusing. Firstly, the Wikimedia Foundation is the non-profit organization which operates Wikipedia. Wikipedia is obviously the project to build a freely licensed encyclopedia. Wikia is a completely separate company. It's not operated by the Wikimedia Foundation. It doesn't have any official ties with Wikipedia. But both do rely on the MediaWiki software, which is a GPL'd wiki engine. Wikia Search, which I'm not going to be talking about today, is a project to build an open source search engine. It's based along wiki principles, so people can get involved and actually edit the search results, as well as getting involved in the crawl of the web. Wikia is a project which hosts 10,000 different wikis. And these aren't necessarily encyclopedic wikis like Wikipedia, but instead more focused fan-based wikis on anything from games to politics. One big difference between Wikipedia and Wikia is that Wikipedia relies on donations, and Wikia is a for-profit company which is relying on advertising. So this is where it all started, 1994, with a WikiWiki bus. This is the airport shuttle bus in Hawaii. And the inventor of wikis, Ward Cunningham, actually named wikis after the bus. And in Hawaiian, the name means quick, WikiWiki means quick, and a wiki is basically a quick way of editing a website. In 2000, a project called Newpedia was born. Newpedia was a project to build an encyclopedia, but it wasn't on a wiki and it wasn't openly editable. Instead, every person who wanted to author on Newpedia had to prove their credentials. They had to go through lots and lots of processes if they wanted to actually get an article published. In the whole history of Newpedia project, I think they published about 12 articles. So in 2001, Newpedia set up something called Wikipedia, which was just a little spin-off project. It's just some place people could go and draft their articles for Newpedia. But unexpectedly, Wikipedia took on a life of its own. And quickly they realized that this was a much better way to build an encyclopedia, actually just let anyone in and they can edit. And quickly that had thousands of articles. Wikipedia is a complicated project. There's often lots of contradictions and conflicts that you can find within it. For example, how can something be both popular and unknown? How can something which is openly editable also be high quality? So I'm going to be exploring some of these opposites and conflicts today. One of the first contrasts is the difference between the number of readers and the number of editors. And I found a couple of quotes that show that Wikipedia a couple of years ago may have been similar to Linux about 10 years ago. In both cases, people are saying that most of the edits were done just by a very small number of people. So the English Wikipedia has 250 million readers every month. On the English Wikipedia alone, there are 9 million registered users, but only a very small percent of those have actually edited. And what you find is that a core group of a few hundred are making most of the edits, in terms of just counting those edits, not looking at the content that they're adding, but in terms of numbers, there's just a few hundred people doing most of them. However, Aaron Schwartz, he's the founder of Reddit, he found in just a small study that the substantial content actually comes from outside that core group. So you've got one group of a few hundred people doing loads and loads of edits, but they're kind of formatting, they're editing, they're adding tags, categories, and so on. And the actual writing of Wikipedia is more done from outside that core group. New people coming along, they're not heavily involved in the project, but they're the ones adding the content. This was just a small study done, but the University of Bamberg are currently working on some automatic reporting software, which will give us a much better idea and be able to look at those sort of numbers across the whole wiki, find out who's really editing Wikipedia. Another study has showed that bots are actually editing Wikipedia. In many cases, 20% of the edits come from bots, and in some cases up to 60%. So this includes things like formatting by the less intelligent bots and vandalism reversion by the more advanced ones. It's actually become hard for humans to manually revert really obvious vandalism. If you find something, if someone's just blanked a page or written a swear word in it, then that sort of thing gets reverted by a bot before you've got a chance to edit the page. So one of the goals of the Wikimedia Foundation this year is to increase the number of editors. The reason that's important is shown by a study that HP did in 2007, where they found that the article quality is correlated with the number of different editors that you have. So that's one of the really important reasons why we want more people. There's a lot of people involved now, but we think if we get more, then the quality of Wikipedia will go up. So what are we actually doing about that? We've got some planned public outreach projects. One example is Wikipedia Academies. These are basically workshops that are held around the world where people go to learn to use and edit Wikipedia. And some of them are focused at specific groups. For example, there have been ones held aimed at mathematicians or aimed at senior citizens, really trying to get different demographics involved in editing Wikipedia. Also, by doing this, we kind of get a better diversity of knowledge if we go and reach out to new groups. Secondly, the Wikimedia Foundation has contracted John Broughton. He's the author of Wikipedia, The Missing Manual. He's going to be working on an educator's guide to Wikipedia. This will include guidance and educational templates for teachers to use. It's going to be published using on-demand wiki-to-print technology developed by Pedia Press, which I'll talk a little bit more about later on. They're also working on things like video tutorials, tip sheets, and other things just so that people can learn how to use Wikipedia. But most importantly, what they're going to do is try and improve usability. Which brings us to another contradiction of Wikipedia. Can it be both usable and complex? And very often users want to use powerful templates. They want to do very complicated things within Wikipedia. So we kind of have to balance that with making it more usable for the newcomers. Luckily, we've just been given an $890,000 grant by the Stanton Foundation, specifically to work on usability. So this is an example of what a wiki page looks like today when you go to edit it. It's obviously a huge barrier to participation. I think MediaWiki probably was user-friendly by the standards of its time when it started in 2001. But since then, the internet has become increasingly easy to use, and MediaWiki has become harder and harder. So right now, it's kind of got to the point where it's unnecessarily difficult to use. Here's another example of that. This is a page used to create something called a dynamic page list. It's a useful feature that kind of allows you to explore category intersections in a way that MediaWiki doesn't usually allow. But it's obviously a really long way from being usable by most editors. Another similar example is Semantic MediaWiki. This is a really important feature that's not currently in use on Wikipedia. It actually lets you look up the semantics of the content there and make it more machine readable and so on. But like this dynamic page list feature, it's very difficult to use. So with this $890,000 grant from Stanton, the Wikimedia Foundation are launching the Stanton Usability Project. This is by far their biggest technical project yet. And it's a one-year pilot. It's going to run in three phases, starting off just with some research, find out what the current situation is, how easy people find it to edit Wikipedia, what particular problems they have within that. The next stage will be some simple and measurable changes. For example, making the edit button more obvious. Sometimes being quite surprised when people say they don't know they can edit Wikipedia, because every single article says edit this page on it. But perhaps there's a way of making that more obvious to people so that they know they can edit. Other simple changes that we're going to do is make the help pages more easily accessible. Often they're hidden away on another wiki somewhere and people don't even know how to find them. And then phase three will be a redesign of the article editor itself. So rather than clicking edit and seeing all this stuff, which is pretty confusing, they're going to find ways of simplifying that. Take out some of the complicated bits, so you can just hide them, so that experienced users could still go and find these complicated bits if they know what they're doing and they need to edit those. But for newcomers, it's going to look more like a WYSIWYG screen. Wikia, which also uses MediaWiki, has implemented a WYSIWYG editor based on FCK editor. The reason it was hard to do this is because we wanted to maintain two-way compatibility with the wiki text that Wikipedia uses, so that experienced editors can go in and make those changes if they want to. So basically what we've done is just hidden the templates and hidden the references in little grey boxes so people can see the content and just edit that if that's all they want to do. Another example is the upload form. Typically on MediaWiki sites, this is quite complicated, filled with lots of jargon text that you can see at the top there. So an alternative which Wikia has come up with is a far more visual form, something that lets you easily find images, upload them, and also makes it easier to use them. It will put the image straight into the article rather than you having to learn the wiki text of how to do that. So moving on to another contradiction, can Wikimedia rely on donations but also achieve financial stability? That is their goal, and so far it's going very well. Despite the current economic climate, we actually recently conducted our most ambitious and most successful fundraising drive to date. We raised 6.2 million US dollars, or 9.3 Australian. And this was given to us primarily by small donors. 125,000 different people donated to Wikipedia over the last couple of months and helped us to raise that total, which will keep us going for the next year. Often when I start talking about raising money for Wikipedia, people say, why don't you just stick ads on the site? You know, you could make millions of dollars, just put some Google ads down the side. So there's a lot of different reasons that people aren't so happy about doing that. So one suggestion is that ads cheapen the encyclopedia. Some users feel that because the ads themselves are biased, that these are somehow diametrically opposed to the goals of Wikipedia, which aims to be a neutral encyclopedia. Another argument is just that ads are annoying. If there's some way we can avoid ads, then people want to do that. One big problem is that contributors may leave. Every time advertising is even mentioned, people start threatening it, threatening boycotts and so on. So it's hard to know how many actually would. I think without trying it out, you're not going to know how big that vocal group is. There's a very vocal minority against advertising. But contributor goodwill just isn't something that the foundation are willing to gamble with. There are privacy concerns, as user data would have to be shared with advertisers, and up until now, Wikipedia hasn't shared that user data with anyone else. Another suggested problem is that you would have changing customers. Right now, the only customers of Wikipedia are the people that are reading it and using it. If you put advertising on, then you have to take into account the views of the advertisers, which may have an unhealthy effect on Wikipedia as a whole. Ads are financially unnecessary. You know, we've just had a fundraising drive, we've raised enough money that we need for the year. So people say, what's the point of putting ads on? We don't need that money. Wikipedia is run by a non-profit foundation, so no one's looking for profits from the shares or whatever. You know, Wikipedia's run for 8 years already without advertising. The contra argument to that is that if there was money from advertising or other sources, that the foundation could do a lot more. They could better meet their goals of distributing the encyclopedia to every person on the planet. And there's a possible threat to the neutrality of the content. Would advertisers feel entitled to favorable coverage about themselves if they were spending lots of money on advertising campaigns? And one more is the threat to the independence of the design. Right now, the users and the developers control the skin of the site. They don't have to think about anyone except for the people that are reading Wikipedia. And that could change if the goal instead became to maximize the visibility of the ads. So if not ads, then what? So one thing that the foundation is doing instead is seeking what we call mission-friendly partners. And these are organizations which support the foundation's goals. They support the open source values of the foundation, and they also respect the communities. And these partners would have to be doing something that helps the foundation to meet its goals. For example, they'd have to be increasing global participation or working to increase the quality of Wikipedia in some way. And these partnerships aren't only about monetization, they're also being done to foster an ecology of free culture. So is financial sustainability actually possible right now during the economic crisis? What we've found is that most donations are small gifts from people, and Wikimedia staff has said that they are not so susceptible to economic turmoil as the kind of first-time large grants like millions of dollars. So the really big grants might be at risk, but most of the donations still comes from these small gifts, so that's not expected to be too big a problem. Grants from non-profit foundations, such as the Stanton Foundation that I mentioned earlier, are also fairly impervious to these sort of conditions. So we're trying to get more of those as opposed to corporate grants or first-time donors. Another goal of the foundation is to reach organizational maturity. Some people have asked whether that's possible when Wikipedia is predominantly volunteer-run, and even whether it's necessary. It seems to me that the Wikimedia Foundation has grown up quite a lot over the last few years, especially when I joined the board, which was the first board of trustees of the Wikimedia Foundation. Things were very haphazard, very unprofessionally done, because people didn't really know what they're doing. But what we're able to do now is hire in more professionals, get expert advice and so on. And a grant from the Sloan Foundation has really helped with that. They gave us a $3 million grant over 3 years. And that was to improve the organizational capacity of Wikipedia. So bringing on new professional staff has just like allowed improvement of process, policies, instructions, and so on within the foundation. Not on the Wikipedia project itself, which is completely volunteer-run, but within the foundation that operates that. Okay, moving on to another conflict. People usually think that Wikipedia is just an online project. But it's not. One of the goals of Wikimedia is to increase distribution beyond the wikis. Actually take it offline, take it off computers as well. And so a couple of examples of things we're doing on the site. Firstly, selling books. If you go to Wikibooks, you can actually buy a collection of articles or collection of chapters. Wikibooks is an official sister project of Wikipedia. It's a project to build a free collection of textbooks, particularly aimed at high school children. It's possible that this is going to launch on Wikipedia as well this quarter, this idea of actually collecting which articles you want to print out, then going to Wikipedia Press and they will print that out and send it to you as a book. And the second example involves images rather than articles. If you look at any image on the French Wikipedia, you'll see a link that allows you to buy a poster that's actually made up of that image. So this is operated by a separate company. As the images are all available under free licenses, no contract with Wikimedia was required. However, the company is making a donation to the French chapter of Wikimedia. And the community obviously had to agree to that link being put there on their wiki. It has been fairly controversial, as you might imagine, considering all the controversies over advertising. To some people, this kind of crosses that line when you're adding a link to a commercial company on every image page. A couple of off-site examples are OLPC and SOS. Now, these are electronic copies of Wikipedia rather than printed copies. OLPC is sending sections of Wikipedia out on laptops, and the SOS is releasing a small collection of articles that are particularly relevant to children in the UK. And they've actually gone through 5,500 articles and checked them, made sure they're accurate and made sure they're appropriate for children. And there's lots of plans to further this goal of getting the content out there. A lot of work's been done over the past year on the API. Editing via the API recently became possible, which is opening up lots of new opportunities, not just for dissemination of the content, but also for people to add value to Wikipedia, even when they're not on Wikipedia itself. So along with new staff and new partnerships, we hope to see more use of Wikipedia over the coming year, whether that's online, in print, on mobiles, or wherever. Right now, it's kind of hard to do that with the English Wikipedia, because we're not able to successfully make a dump of the content available. But that's something that's going to be worked on this year. It's kind of a priority for about the middle of this year. So talking about mobile, increasing Wikipedia usage on mobile phones is becoming more important. And Wikimedia is working with mobile operators and handset makers. One example of that is they've actually licensed their brand to Nokia, so Nokia can use a version of Wikipedia on their phones. Something that's going to be announced later this year is a new Wikipedia mobile platform. This is currently being built on MERB. One final example of reuse of wiki content comes from a non-Wikimedia project. This is the World of Warcraft wiki, also known as WoWWiki. It's one of the largest community-built wikis outside of Wikimedia. It's got 70,000 articles about the game. And in association with PlayExpert, this wiki has actually managed to get its content displayed in-game, where it's most needed. You don't necessarily want to turn your game off, go and look up the wiki. So instead, you can read the wiki while you're playing. One of the contradictions I mentioned at the start was that between having an openly editable encyclopedia and having something which is high quality. Now, one of the goals of the foundation is to increase quality, but also to increase the perception of quality. Wikipedia often gets a bad reputation for being unreliable, even though quite a lot of studies have shown that, as a whole, it's surprisingly accurate and often comparable to traditional encyclopedias. One suggested way of improving the quality, not so much the perception necessarily, but improving the quality, is to allow flagged revisions. Now, this is a feature where trusted users would go in and just mark a particular revision of an article as saying, yeah, this is okay, I've checked it, it's not vandalism, it doesn't look really bad to me. And then users would have the option of whether they want to view that latest, most up-to-date version, or whether they'd prefer to look at the checked version, which might not be up-to-date, depending on, you know, how often people actually go around flagging the latest versions. And this is actually in use on Wikibooks already, and on some language versions of Wikipedia, including the German and Esperanto versions. It's not currently on the English one. There's no consensus within the community about whether flagged revisions are a good thing. You know, what if backlogs develop and the articles end up very stale? You kind of lose one of the big advantages of Wikipedia, which is that it's really up to date. And for improving the perception of quality, the Wikimedia Foundation has invited research. Because all studies so far have validated the projects as being high quality, they want more work like that done. They want to find out about new areas. You know, is that true across the board, or is it only true in particular topics? We're also seeking proactive media coverage. When we don't, we get this sort of article written about us. This was in the Brisbane Times very recently, and they picked up a piece of vandalism on Wikipedia claiming that people like Jason Donovan and Billy the Fish were going to join Gold Coast United. The edit was probably removed within minutes, but somehow the journalists managed to find it, and that became the focus of a humorous story for them. So in reaction to this sort of thing, we're actually trying to think up more positive stories, get those stories into the press. Hopefully that would have the effect that journalists wouldn't then have to go trolling around vandalised versions to find their stories. It's quite a different situation at Wikipedia now in regards to the press. When I joined, it was almost impossible to get the press to say anything about us at all. Being on Slashdot was a very big deal. And a major source of new editors back in 2003. Now the situation is reversed, and we can hardly get the press to stop talking about Wikipedia. It sounds like it should be a good thing, but it does have implications for the project. When Wikipedia wasn't being written about, it didn't matter so much if an article was temporarily below quality, if it was too short, or if it needed fixing up. You know, short articles would get extended in time, and that wasn't a big problem. Bad articles could just be rewritten. But being in the eye of the media like this kind of leads to different reactions. One is a desire to instantly delete anything that could be problematic or doesn't meet Wikipedia's now high standards. This leads to a big conflict within the community, which is called deletionism versus inclusionism. Deletionists feel that lots of articles ought to be deleted because they're not good enough. Inclusionists think we need to include more content in Wikipedia. So a couple of arguments used in these sort of debates is Wiki is not paper, which refers to the idea that Wikipedia doesn't have physical limits. You know, it's not like a paper encyclopedia where you need to choose what goes in. Everything could go in. On the other side of the debate, people say, well, Wikipedia is an encyclopedia. It's not a free-for-all. We can't just include everything people want to write about. You know, your cat isn't that interesting. Thousands of articles are deleted every day. This is just an 8-minute snapshot, so I couldn't even fit 10 minutes worth on the slide. A few reasons given just in this random sample are things like no indication that the article meets inclusion guidelines, or the article has no meaningful, substantial content. So there's hundreds of things being deleted every day for reasons like that. Often these sort of reasons mean that the admin can instantly delete the page without either informing the author that they're doing it or seeking any community opinion about that. And there's a long list of candidates for this type of speedy deletion. These include things like nonsense, test pages, pages that only attack or disparage their subject, overly promotional articles, articles that are too short, articles about people or things that are deemed not important enough for Wikipedia. So those things are just deleted instantly. And as well as all those instant deletions, there are ones that the community does discuss. I just picked one random example, the Casamance national football team from Senegal. It wasn't clear whether this was non-notable enough, so it was listed for a 5-day discussion. The consensus was that it should be deleted because the team hasn't actually played their first match yet. So until they do, they're not notable, they can't be included in Wikipedia. So how popular is Wikipedia? People often assume that it's internationally popular because it is the fourth most visited website in the world, at least according to ComScore. We do have billions of readers every year, but it's still really, really tiny in some languages. So it's not globally popular. It's virtually unknown in some countries. Now, Wikipedia exists in 256 languages. We used to have Klingon, but that was closed down. And each one of these is built up individually. It's a grassroots effort that just starts the whole encyclopedia. So translation does happen, but that's not a core part of it. Mostly people are rebuilding from something. There are no Australian language editions, and most of the African language editions have fewer than 200 articles. And a couple of exceptions to that are Afrikaans and Swahili, which are larger. So often there's little facilitation given to people starting new editions, either technical facilitation or social facilitation. So each new language edition kind of runs into its own problems. But here's quite an inspiring quote by one of the editors of one of the African language editions. He says, "It may seem like we're a long way from achieving Wikimedia's mission, but if you consider that just 3 short years ago, most of these projects didn't even exist, we'll realize that we're doing quite well." So I think people are, you know, feeling like this on the African language versions, that they have got something going, that they are making progress. But they're definitely nowhere near as popular as the English version, which is something that kind of needs to be taken into account when Wikimedia is setting its policies and deciding about outreach and so on, that Wikipedia isn't known everywhere and they might need to take different approaches. So the reason that we're doing this in so many different languages is because Wikimedia has this vision statement: imagine a world in which every single human being can freely share in the sum of all knowledge. So that's kind of really the big picture idea about what Wikimedia is trying to do: make that accessible to everyone. Unfortunately, there's some conflict with this vision of allowing every person to share it, because Wikipedia is often blocked. The Chinese Wikinews is currently blocked in China. Wikinews is one of the official sister projects of Wikipedia. It's a citizen journalism site using a Creative Commons license where people are adding current events and news. And in the past, Wikipedia has also been blocked in China and Tunisia. The Kurdish Wikipedia was blocked in both Iran and Turkey, although they allowed other language versions to stay open. And most recently, editors in the UK found they could no longer edit. The Internet Watch Foundation tried to block a single image. It was an album cover of the Scorpions album Virgin Killer. But in doing so, they forced most UK traffic through a single IP address. So one person on that IP vandalized, got blocked, and as a result ended up blocking the entire country from editing. The Internet Watch Foundation eventually retracted that block after substantial media coverage of their censorship, which was completely non-transparent. It wasn't announced, that they didn't give any reason for that. So I'm just hoping Australia is not going to be next on my list of blocks here. I'm sorry that my slides have been so text-heavy today, because one of the points I want to make is that Wikipedia is no longer only about text. Thanks to Sun, we now have 48 terabytes of file storage, which is 24 times more than we had this time last year. So this is going to open up lots of new possibilities in 2009. Already, Wikimedia Commons has almost 4 million files. Wikimedia Commons is also run by the Wikimedia Foundation, obviously. It's our official file repository. So it's a source of only freely licensed images for use both outside and within Wikimedia's own projects. So any Wikipedia site, for example, can automatically use images from there. So there's more 4 million files, primarily images, but also some videos as well. And we've got plans to increase the upload limit. It's currently 100 megabytes. We want to make that more to actually allow people to upload full-length films and so on, as long as those are under a free license and also on free formats. And the next stage is about enabling collaboration on those files. Right now it's very easy to edit the text, but what do you do if someone's uploaded a video? It's not so easy to edit that. And if you're interested in how that's possible, I recommend Michael Dale's talk tomorrow. He's going to be talking about more about the future of video on Wikimedia. Wiki is not Wikipedia. The word wiki is often misused to mean Wikipedia, but it's not. Wikipedia is just one of millions. You know, people say things like, "I looked it up on Wiki." They don't specify which wiki they looked it up on. They probably mean Wikipedia. But the Wikimedia Foundation alone runs 650 different wikis. So wiki doesn't mean only Wikipedia. The 650 that I run include all the different language versions of Wikipedia, plus the sister projects like Wikibooks and Wikinews that I've already mentioned. At Kathy Sierra's talk last year, she invited everyone to tell their neighbour what their passion was. I shan't do the same thing, but if you think of something that you are passionate about, that other people are also passionate about, the chances are you're probably going to find a wiki community about that. Of course, there are loads of general Linux wikis, both general ones and also specific ones for, you know, each distro, each feature, each user group, and so on. Surprisingly, the specific wikis are more popular than the, like, general wikis. I think because they have a more defined aim, they have a more cohesive community, so often you'll find that a wiki about a user group is more popular than the wiki about Linux as a whole. And there's been a real explosion of wikis over the last few years, I think particularly since 2005. I've got one example of this. This is not a Wikimedia example. This is Wookiepedia. No relation to Wikipedia. A wiki purely about Star Wars, which exists already in 24 different languages. And then there's been all these spin-off wikis. People wanted to write Star Wars fan fiction, so they started a new wiki for that. They wanted to write a parody about Star Wars, so they started a wiki for that. And there's wikis for merchandise, for all the games, for the Lego, for the comics, and for the Jedi religion. So with all this explosion of wikis, you really have to kind of get involved. Go and edit, not necessarily Wikipedia, but any wiki on a topic that you're passionate about. If you can't find one, it's very easy to start your own wiki. MediaWiki is open source, of course. You can always install that yourself. If you want to meet some wiki people, look up Wiki Wednesdays on the internet. You might find one in your local area. The next one in Sydney is going to be on the 4th of March, and we are looking for sponsors who can actually host that. So if you have an office in Sydney, let me know. On a bigger scale is Wikimania. This is the annual conference of the Wikimedia Foundation. This year it's going to be held in Buenos Aires in South America. Next year it's probably going to go to Europe. But we're hoping to bring it to Australia for 2011. We're going to be putting a bid in. It kind of works on the same way the Linux conference does. Different cities put in bids. And most importantly, you can join Wikimedia Australia. This is the official chapter of Wikimedia in this country. It's a non-profit organization, and it's just very recently opened for membership. The chapter's president, Brianna, will be at the open day on Saturday if you want to sign up. The final contradiction I want to talk about is that between free content and fair use, or fair dealing in Australia. One question that comes up is how free is free enough? And fair use in which countries? Should we rely on the US definition of fair use when we're deciding what sort of images are allowed to be put in Wikipedia articles? Here's one example. This is an image which is not available under a free license. It's regarded in the US apparently as one of the most significant and recognizable images of World War II. The picture was taken in 1945, so it's not out of copyright yet. It was the winner of the Pulitzer Prize for Photography, and there's actually a Wikipedia article about the photo itself. This image is often cited as a reason why Wikipedia needs fair use. We need to allow fair use because otherwise we couldn't include this image. Could we have an article about it if we didn't include the picture itself? I found an excellent parable recently by a Wikipedian called Anger that really strongly demonstrates why this sort of thing is a problem. So it's called the Parable of the Vegan. Imagine you're a vegan. You hear about an event, the vegan potluck dinner, anyone can. So you get out your favorite recipe book and you take along a vegan salad, but the first thing you notice when you arrive at this dinner is a large platter of fried chicken. You kind of look confusedly at the host. You say, I thought this was a vegan dinner. And the host tells you, well, it is a vegan dinner, but everyone's agreed to allow some animal-based food under certain restricted circumstances. Like what, you say? What restricted circumstances? Why is there chicken here? Well, beef burgers and sausages have a good vegan equivalent, but there's no vegan equivalent to fried chicken. It's simply not replaceable, the host replies. So you put down, you walk resolutely past the chicken. You pick up some minestrone instead. It's good. You proclaim the minestrone to be delicious. The person who cooks it comes up. He says, oh, thanks. I made it with beef stock, but there's so little meat in there, you hardly notice it, do you? And the same thing then happens with the corn. It's been cooked with butter instead of a vegan margarine. Same thing happens with the chocolate cake. It's been made with eggs and milk. The person who makes it claims you just can't get the right consistency with vegan ingredients. Besides, don't be so paranoid. Eating meat isn't illegal. No one's going to sue us. You splutter in disbelief. The host says, look, I know how you feel, but you have to understand something. We have two goals at this vegan dinner, to be vegan and to be a dinner. Those goals sometimes conflict with each other. Finally, in exasperation, you cry, what on earth is the matter with you people? Who says being vegan is in conflict with having a high-quality dinner? What does fear of getting sued have to do with anything? Why are you advertising this as a vegan dinner if you're going to serve meat? Vegan should mean no animal products of any kind, ever. So what does a free encyclopedia mean? And I'm going to leave you with that question. Thank you for your time. Are there any questions?
You talked a little bit about quality, and you were talking about how you wanted to get more editors involved in this, and I guess I do have a question about how you plan to actually keep the quality up or how to do it. Maybe a short example. Recently, well, when I came to the web, it was all about like creating links between pages, so it was encouraged not to have a single long page, but to have a couple of pages that would link in between each other. I've seen a couple of times now on Wikipedia that people wanted to merge articles that were completely unrelated, or related but different topics, into one single article that had subsections. And in my world, that's the wrong way to go, but it seems to be sort of a way that a lot of Wikipedians are heading. And are you going to formulate better guidelines for this, or how do you want to keep up the quality of the project?
Yeah, so the article you're mentioning about merging articles together kind of ties in with the principles of deletionism. Often people think a topic isn't worthy enough by itself, so that's why they'll go and merge it with another article that's related to it. So something you can do there is just get on the talk page. Every article has a discussion page. Just go there and talk about it, see if there's actually consensus for that, or whether it's just one person just being a bit crazy that day. Often you can get those sort of decisions reversed. In terms of kind of more general vandalism where people are just adding bad content, it really relies on having lots of people there watching what's going on and reversing that. Of course, at any one time, a page could be vandalized, but the idea is if more and more people get involved, there's going to be, you know, less problems caused by the vandals.
So it feels to me that the barrier to entry for editing are precisely these policies and rules. My personal experience has been a number of reverted edits because of rules that I violated. And that's right. If I violated the rules, they ought to be reverted. But I guess the question is, how do you get people in when you have such extensive and complicated and ambiguous and sometimes outright contradictory policies?
Yeah, so that's an interesting point, that it's not just the technical barriers to entry that are stopping people from editing. There's also all these social barriers. And as the project's got older, it's developed more and more policies. I don't think any person can now really follow, you know, what are the latest policies. One of the principles of Wikipedia has always been be bold. So go ahead and make that change. If someone reverts you, then you're going to learn something, you're going to find out exactly what was wrong.
I understand why you would want to make it easy, but is there a point where it's just too easy? It might, you know, sound a bit mean or something, but you'd want contributors to have a certain level of intelligence, you know? So do you think there is a point where you can make Wikipedia too easy to edit?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you need any intelligence to go in and vandalize right now. And often what we're finding is that people that are really intelligent are stopped from contributing because they just don't have the time to go and learn the wiki markup. They don't understand how to do that. So it's not that at the moment it's hard and we're cutting out the less intelligent people. There's plenty of them on Wikipedia.
Thank you for your talk. And I love Wikipedia. I can't, it's wonderful. But one of the frustrations is that experts are being turned off contributing because of some of the rules. And some who make considerable contributions and then have that reverted because non-original research is allowed. I find that to be one of those, I mean, it was nice that you framed everything as these contradictions. Any comments on turning experts off?
Yeah, this has been cited as quite a big problem, and there's actually been a spin-off project called, there's one called Veripedia, and there's a couple of other examples where people have forked Wikipedia and trying to just involve experts a lot more, sometimes to the exclusion of people that aren't experts. So there's a bit of a danger there. Sometimes, you know, you kind of don't want to balance it too far the other way. You don't want to go back to Newpedia and only let those people edit. But at the same time, we do need to get them involved. So I'm hoping the Wikipedia academies are going to be one way of doing that. So going out and, you know, training people that are experts on how to edit, how to get involved. So that kind of outreach might help.
Yeah, there's a sense, I think, that Wikipedia is becoming precious. You know, you started as something that was open and collaborative, but as the content's improving, you're now changing the rules after the event and saying, oh, no, you know, we're an encyclopedia, we're setting our standards higher and discarding the very things that actually made you what you are.
Yeah, it's difficult to balance that idea that it's openly editable and that you want it to be high quality. So, you know, at the same time, if the focus is too much on quality, then you kind of lose what you need to actually do to create the articles. You know, if you want to kind of stop people from editing because you don't think their edits are high quality enough, there's never going to be a starter article. No one's going to go in and improve that if it doesn't get that chance to be born in the first place.
I recently discovered that if you view your Firefox history and filter it on wikipedia.org and then copy and paste the window into a text field and into a text editor and pipe it through sort and unique, you can get the number of Wikipedia pages that you've viewed that are in your history. Then if you divide that by the length of time your browser keeps your history for, you can get an average of the number of Wikipedia pages you view per day. Now for me, that turned out, slightly concerningly, to be 11. I'm wondering whether the Wikipedia community as a whole has a consensus on what number, at what point one should seek psychological help.
Thank you.
I have noticed certain other symptoms of this slight Wikipedia addiction. My Firefox search box is by default set to Wikipedia so that I can get article access with just one key press and various other things. And I'm wondering whether the Wikipedia community has developed sort of telltale signs or levels of, you know, that sort of thing that you can tell us about and give us some help with.
There is actually a page on Wikipedia called the Are You a Wikipedia-holic test. So there's a test you can take. You can find out exactly what stage of addiction you're currently at. But I think if you're just reading, you're only, you know, at the first stages. It's when you start editing that many articles every day. You need to get a bit more worried. It is.
Recently, I interviewed a professor of IT here in Australia, and she was telling me how Wikipedia is breeding a generation of unwitting trust. So people will just go to Wikipedia and take whatever said as being gospel. Are you doing any work to encourage cross-referencing and other sort of checks and balances that might stop that?
Yeah, referencing has become a lot more important on Wikipedia the last couple of years. Almost any article you go to now has references at the end. And what we say at Wikipedia is you shouldn't be relying on it. You certainly shouldn't be writing college reports based on it. Instead, use it as background for your research. Follow those links at the end, follow the references, go to the original sources. You know, we're not saying you can trust it. Overall, it's high quality, but you never know if that one article you're looking at has just been edited by some crazy person.
We just have to wind it up there because morning tea is getting ready. So I'd like everyone to join with me in thanking Angela for coming and speaking to us today.